Greatest Eye in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. Space engineering. We begin with the successful SpaceX launch of a Cygnus capsule. Bob, interpret. What is the Cygnus capsule? What is the significance here for Northrop Grumman? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, we got a bunch of Northrop Grumman stories here. Northrop Grumman builds a Cygnus capsule. It used to be Orbital ATK, but they were merged into Northrop Grumman. And that's a cargo capsule to bring supplies to ISS. And Northrop Grumman also has a rocket on Perry's rocket, which is supposed to be launching Cygnus. But unfortunately for Northrop Grumman, there's a thing going on in Europe called the Ukraine War. And the Antares rocket had been using Russian engines in its first stage, and the first stage itself had been built by a company in the Ukraine. So when the war occurred, they could no longer buy either any components of their first stage anymore. They couldn't get the stage, they couldn't get the engines. They used up the engines they had, but they don't have a rocket at the moment. And so they signed SpaceX to do three Cygnus launches. SpaceX redesigned its fairing shroud to protect Cygnus in order to do this, but SpaceX didn't. So this week, SpaceX successfully launched a Cygnus capsule to ISS. It's got two more launches to go. Meanwhile, Northrop Grumman has a contract with Firefly to build an American-built first stage for its Antares rocket, but that's not going to be ready until mid-25 at the earliest. For SpaceX, this was its 10th launch in January. Pretty much that'll be all they'll get this month. I don't think they'll get any more. They want to make 150 launches this year, so that puts them slightly behind the necessary pace, but it's still pretty remarkable. They've launched already 10 times, twice to ISS, one manned. The company is continuing to amaze in every way, shape, and form.
Detail, Bob. Firefly, we haven't talked about them for some time. I've forgotten even the name. It's associated with a science fiction movie, a B-movie that I always like.
Right.
Is that a healthy company, Firefly?
Yes, they're the company that had gone into bankruptcy because of a Virgin Galactic suit. Then a Ukrainian businessman saved them. They had some problems because the State Department wanted him out, and so he had to sell off his shares. But they have actually come back to life. They actually have a rocket, Alpha. They've launched twice. They're building a lunar lander. They're building satellites. They're getting close to becoming a major competitor in this industry as a rocket startup. And so that they're building this first stage for Northrop Grumman is a major deal. So this is a company to watch, Firefly.
All right, Firefly. Northrop Grumman. Do we have another Northrop Grumman story? Is it time to move?
Yes, we've got two, John. Let me go do them both together. One, Northrop Grumman has a contract with NASA to build the habitable module for its Luna Gateway space station. This is the space station that NASA must have in operation around the moon in order to really do its Luna exploration program. They've designed the whole program around having this space station. So if it's not there, they really can't do anything. Northrop Grumman is having problems. It had a fixed price contract of almost $1 billion to build this module, and it's based upon the Cygnus capsule, which, by the way, it only launches cargo, but when it's attached to ISS and they open it, it has to be a habitable interior because people go in and out to get the cargo. And yet they're having problems, and they've had to write off now almost $100 million of money, Northrop Grumman, because they're going over budget. It's a fixed price contract. NASA will not give them more money if they have problems, and they don't get paid until they reach milestones. And so obviously they're having issues. The issues seem to be a combination of a bunch of things. It's not exactly clear. NASA is not supposed to issue change orders on a fixed price contract. You give them a design, NASA accepts the design, and then it's up to you to finish the job. And somehow Northrop Grumman's having problems. So that's one story. And the other story is the Pentagon. This is a good story for Northrop Grumman. The Pentagon has chosen Northrop Grumman's orbital refueling port as the standard to be used by the military. Think about, your gas cap. They're all the same. They're designed to be similar, and same thing with the nozzle from the gas station. They're all the same, so you can go into any gas station and get fuel. Well, the space industry wants to have standards here, and the military wants to have its own standards. It was looking at three different potential refueling ports from three different companies, maybe four, And it shows Northrop Grumman's refueling port. What this means, it says it's not explosive. They might still use the other company's ports. But what this probably means is that the company is going to shift to Northrop Grumman's design. This doesn't mean Northrop Grumman gets more money because it'll be, if the NASA design is available to everyone. But what it means is that the Pentagon is going to be favoring Northrop Grumman in future orbital refueling missions.
Bob, Space Force. I understand that it's a government organization. The reason I ask this hesitant question is that it's giving out contracts, good for Space Force, but it's giving it out to the same old gang, you know, the usual suspects. Is that a good thing?
It's a mixed blessing. In some cases, it makes sense. In some cases, it doesn't. In the case of Northrop Grumman getting that contract, I think there's a little bit of American favoritism involved because the other two companies, several of the companies it was competing with the refueling port, were not American.
Right.
So there's some game going on there. Is it good? It's a mixed blessing.
What
in some
about
cases,
Lockheed
it's good.
Martin and Boeing getting space contracts? Is that a good
thing? All right, this is another case. Yes, this is a new story. Lockheed and Boeing have gotten contracts, $66 million contracts. These are to design a version of the next generation communication satellite that the military will use. So what they'll do is they'll design, each will use this money to create prototype satellites showing how they would meet the Space Force's requirements for this next generation satellite. And then the military will then pick the company to choose. It's giving both to both companies, but I can't imagine for the life of me if they would pick Boeing. Because for one thing, Lockheed Martin built the previous generation, and it's a very successful satellite construction company. It's actually pretty good at it. Boeing, well, we all know Boeing's problems right now. And in fact, NASA will not even entertain any future bids from Boeing for any kind of future work at the moment. They're still not happy with its work. So I can't imagine Boeing getting this later full deal, but yet the military has handed out both of these companies' contracts, and this is once again, to a certain extent, exactly your concern, John.
Yeah, it's cronyism in space. Okay, let's go to NASA's safety panel. A safety panel? Okay, they're doing well. The big safety for them is let's never launch.
The safety panel, I call it useless and corrupt, and it's been pretty much useless and corrupt now for more than a decade. It was originally formed right after the Apollo 1 fire to create an independent review panel to look at technical and engineering issues within NASA to make sure that they're meeting the proper, doing the right thing. Doing due diligence. But the safety panel in the last decade has become useless. It basically favors NASA. It's been very anti-commercial space. In the last 3 years, its annual report has not been focused on technical issues at all. It's been totally focused on NASA's general management and long-term strategies and plans, which has nothing to do with the safety panel is supposed to be doing. That actually is really the responsibility of Congress and elected officials and maybe NASA's management and the president. It's not the safety panel. But that's what they did. They issued another report. I talked about this on Behind the Black because it's just absurd. They should really get rid of this safety panel entirely.
Bob, is safety panel something that should have been present rather than all that hold up on SpaceX, Starship? Safety panel could have taken over the rebuilding of the launch pad.
I would want the safety panel to be nowhere near anything SpaceX did. It was one of the reasons that the Falcon 9 rocket and Dragon capsules were delayed several years before people were flying on it. And it wasn't because of any real dangers or technical issues. It was because the safety panel was adding roadblocks for paperwork reasons. They were demanding paperwork had to be done. And so I don't want them anywhere near anything SpaceX is doing.
I'm just checking. Worse than fish and
rocket. It's actually a good thing that they're focused on this bureaucratic stuff instead of actual technical issues because it gets them out of the way.
Bob, is it worse than fish and wildlife?
That's a good question. I mean, I would just say they both are horrible.
All right, the
only difference is fish and wildlife now because environmental laws has more power. But that doesn't mean the safety panel cannot really throw wrenches into everything, and it has in the past.
We're spending a whole lot of time in Washington today, given that the launches are in Florida and Texas. A Commerce Department fighting the FCC. What is the chosen weapon? Broadswords? That was clever of Abraham Lincoln.
In this case, the FCC, just to give some background quickly, the FCC has been trying to claim, outside of its statutory authority, the right to regulate when satellites, how satellites are built to deorbit, and how long they can stay in orbit. And this is not the FCC's legal responsibility. It has no right to do this, but it's been trying to do this. And there are people in Congress that don't like this, but they haven't really gotten any action to stop them. Well, a bipartisan group of senators have introduced a bill that would put this responsibility in the hands of the Commerce Department and its Office of Space Commerce. Make it clear the FCC doesn't have this right. Now, whether or not this bill will pass is really questionable. It's got to be passed in the Senate. It's got to be passed in the House. And the president has to sign it. And there are a lot of factions in Washington that want to give these regulatory agencies carte blanche to do anything they want, whether or not it's legal. And so I don't know if they'll win, but at least there's some fight back going.
Office of Space Commerce, that exists now, right?
Yes, it does exist now. A lot of people in the Congress want to give a lot of the responsibility for regulating space to commerce, take it away from the FAA. And based on how the FAA has been functioning since Biden took power, that might be a good idea.
And would the Office of Space Commerce be something we could say, you know, it should be inspecting after every SpaceX launch and not the way it is now? Would that be
I don't want any of these government agencies to be inspecting anybody after every launch. Okay. All they should be doing is making sure that when they launch, there's not conflicts on the launch range between other things like ships and planes. It's not their business to be regulating how things are done because they are not qualified to regulate any of those things.
Bob, I asked a practical question, not a should question. Is the Office of Space Commerce desirable given what we've experienced with the other regulatory bodies?
You know, it's one of these things, John. One of the reasons I react so hostile to the idea is because even if they start out good, they very quickly become power games and there's mission creep and they become a problem.
However, we're then stuck with is the worst case because that's what will happen.
No matter what happens, as long as government is allowed to interfere with the freedoms of American, things will go bad. And right now, we have too many people in Congress that want to still keep government involved in one way or the other.
Bob, as a lobbyist, you're not very good. As an analyst...
No, that's not my job.
Right. As an analyst, you're superb, so we'll go on. Fine. Iran launching 3 satellites. Now, the Iranian space program is unknown to me. I thought we always treated it as a cover for their ballistic missile program. Is it different?
There is a difference. Rockets are missiles. There's no way around that. But a rocket that's designed to put satellites into orbit is going to be different than the engineering required to put a missile, to put a warhead at land a warhead someplace else on Earth. There's going to be differences. But if you can do one, you can do the other. So, yes, there's similarities. But there's no doubt Iran's space military rocket program has accelerated because they completed a launch this week, the second in a week, and the third in less than 4 months, putting satellites in orbit. And the last one put 3 different satellites into orbit on the same rocket, which means their technical capabilities are improving. So we have to pay attention to them right now.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.